Well, good morning. It's a blessing to just kind of be with you guys, and kind of wanted to give somewhat of an exhortation and just kind of talk a little bit about, obviously, I thought it was kind of funny that, we are a year later after, like, the last thing we did was the men's breakfast, but I was just kind of thinking on the passage, the theme, let us consider how to stir up one another, love and good works. And so it was kind of interesting because in the book of Hebrews, that's sort of like the climax of the book. He's tying all these different themes together. He's talking about Christ, how he fulfills all these things, how much better the new covenant is than the old covenant. And then, I guess we hear it so often, it just really like struck me. And then it's the verse that, was the theme is to, we're to consider how to stir each other up. So it's not like it's just some sort of scripture that's tucked away in an obscure place in scripture. No, it's incredibly important to stir each other up. Like, I need people to stir me up. You need people to stir you up. It's integral to what Christianity is. It defines who we are. You can sort of think, sometimes maybe you mix up a drink, and if it just sits there, it kind of starts to distill and separate out, and it kind of loses all the flavor and immediately it gets dull. But we need to be stirred up. We need to be shaken up sometimes. And that's one of the things we, it says consider. It's not like, something I think I might do, but no, actually you meditate on what is something you can do in the life of someone around you. How can you stir them up to love and good deeds? Like, some of the translations use the word provoke. And you think, oh, that's a fun word. I think it has the connotation of maybe making somebody angry. Well, what can you do to provoke somebody, kind of poke them with a sharp stick, so that they can do something good? Because we all have spiritual gifts that God has given us. We all need each other. We are, we're one. And if someone says, no, I really have nothing to offer, I don't have anything, and I'm just, it's like, no, you're deceiving yourself. God has given you a spiritual gift. And this body of men, this body of believers that we have in our church, they need your gift to be stirred up. And so, over the past year, it was a wild roller coaster, I think, for all of us. And it was numerous times, it was just like, well, then this thing's happening, that thing's happening. And it was really nice to be able to get together with different men and to be able to just pour our hearts out to each other and to hear about each other's struggles and figure out how we can pray for each other. Because I know it's like, I can be given to despair with the next thing that's going on, and you have another brother say, well, just whack me upside the head with a simple scripture. We got to trust the Lord. And then, so it's really amazing. I was super encouraged, especially over the past year, just to see how you can only lay blame at the feet of the Lord for how, I think, close a lot of different men were able to kind of get together and encourage each other and build each other up. And that's really like, I can't think of another reason why it seems like the past year has been really good fellowship. So I'm kind of a little bit rambling on, but I know in my own life that there's times where I can look back and see where I have not provoked somebody to love and good deeds. I can look back and see where I have not obeyed this scripture. And I can look and see a brother who's fallen into sin. I can look back and see someone who's had a great struggle and their faith kind of grows cold. Or I can even look back and see people that are now apostates because I feel like, man, I should have done something. And you look at the very next verse and it says, for if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a fearful expectation of judgment. And it's like, it's stirring each other up is not a mild thing. It's very important. And I can see in areas where I've not done that, where I feel guilty, like I should have done something to help this brother and encourage this brother. And even if it's as simple as reaching out or praying, or even just saying hi to people, I know that it makes a good difference to people. So even if it's just, hey, how can I pray for you, or sending somebody a text message, something simple really encourages people. So it's just kind of an exhortation. Hey, you have the ability to stir up. You have the ability to provoke. You're in the body of Christ. We all need it. So anyway, that's kind of, I think Jason's up next. I really like Jason. He's actually really funny, so it'll be good.
Right. 2-3, Houston. I don't know what Jason and Sean was talking about, by the way. The old Jetty or something. I don't know what you're talking about. No, Sean is a great spur of honor. And I think of this verse, Hebrews 10:24-25. I think of Sean. And he's been such an incredible encouragement to me in this last year. He's the spur, he's the connector. All connected in our men's group. And so yeah, so I remember a few weeks ago, we were invited to lunch by Corey. I thought we were just going to go and enjoy some nice tri-tip sandwiches at the cafe near the airport. But as soon as we got there, I was, I could see that Corey was deep in thought and trying to, create a vision for this men's meeting, this men's breakfast. And we started talking, and I had just gotten off the phone with a colleague of mine from work who I hadn't seen for over a year because of COVID, and he was expressing to me, he's not a believer, but he was expressing some real deep struggles that I wasn't aware of. I hadn't talked to him for a while, but he was struggling with deep depression and fear and anxiety, and it was kind of blew me away to think about this because he's a very outgoing guy. I mean, we'd share a lot in the office. We'd go get, falafels together downtown. And I was just kind of taken back that he was going through this season. And it caused me to reflect upon my own life and, just some of the struggles that I've gone through in the last year through this time of isolation, time of uncertainty, time of fearful as well, and I have the Lord, and this guy doesn't. But still, I struggle with, being at home, being isolated, being lonely, being away from the team at work, going stir crazy at times, driving my wife crazy at times, just really, there was, self-doubt and so forth. But I was just kind of meditating on that, and then I thought, there's been so many blessings in this last year, and I started to count my blessings. Something I should do more often, but we kind of came up with the top three blessings in this last year in terms of involvement. I'm a lot more involved at home, with homeschooling, with the family, emotions. I've been able to encourage and hopefully serve my wife better, not drive her to an insane asylum, but just to be around the kids. I think of the money that I've saved, and the gas and the mileage and bus fare, parking, and meals. It's like 300, 400 bucks in itself. But most of all, really, is the time in the devotion. And what struck me was that, man, this friend of mine doesn't know the Lord, and I'd be in his boat too. But I looked at the Lord by His grace. Just showed me, the time and devotion I've been able to spend at least 2 hours a day, with no commute in the morning. A lot more time in the Word, a lot more time in family devotion, a lot more time with my wife. And so I was thankful, and a lot more time with this community of believers. And it's really freed me up to be more involved. It freed me up to get to know these guys better. So I was just compelled to tell my friend on the phone, God didn't make us, he's not a believer, he's very liberal in his thoughts, but just compelled to tell him, God didn't design us for isolation. God didn't make us to be alone for solitude. God created us for community, and God, he created us for fellowship with one another. And so I told Corey, there's one verse or passage that pretty much sums up this whole last year. It is Hebrews 24:25, spurring on one another in Christ. And so based upon that verse, and Robin already read it, so I'm not going to read it, but I looked up the word spur, and it actually means in Webster's to boost, to encourage, to motivate, or stimulate. To incite to action or accelerated growth or development, and literally like to accelerate a car. And I thought, this is what these guys do for me, and this is what these guys do for, I know, so many in here, some that couldn't make it, but for you guys. And I want to encourage you in this that, you know, we're to drive each other faster and harder to the Lord. You know, we're to accelerate, we're to step on the gas and really encourage and uplift and spur one another on to good works. And this is what these guys do. And I'm looking at Sean because he headed this whole thing up, but it's amazing to see the other guys come along and to see what the Lord's doing in each one of our lives. And then now we kind of have a whole new season of new guys that we're getting to know. And already I can see the Lord working in their lives. And then they want to spur others on too. It's infectious. But this is what these guys do. They drive me to the Lord. They motivate my faith. They encourage me to grow and they develop myself. They cause me to develop myself more in Christ. And I'm talking about this men's breakfast, the men's fellowship, our men's fellowship. We call it the MOG. That was coined by Joe Zorn back in the day. The Men of God group, the MOG. I guess if the women had one, they'd be the WOG. But anyways, this guy, so Sean, he also has the Sharper Men app on the Band app, which I can't figure out. It's too many bells and whistles for me. But it's like, you know, through MOG group, through Sharper Men's group, through calls, multiple texts, and every Monday morning, this guy is faithful to do a 6 o'clock a.m. Zoom call. Just to talk about the Lord, what he's doing in our lives, do a little devotion, and to just pray for one another. I'm talking, like, I mean, I'll be honest. Sunday night, 10 o'clock, I'm not always looking forward to waking up first thing at 6 o'clock in the morning and getting on the Zoom call. No, no offense, Sean, but it's crept into my heart a few times. And sure enough, this guy is so faithful. You know, it's like every Sunday night, just when I'm thinking, well, I haven't heard from Sean today. He's going to take the morning off. Ding! Hey, guys! 6 a.m. Zoom! Are you in? All right. Yeah, thumbs up. But I got to tell you, every single time, by the end of it, super blessed, super spurred on, and what a wonderful way to start a busy work week. So 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says to therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And that's kind of in the present tense, just as you are doing. And that's in the same context as Hebrews 10, 24, and 25, as the day of the Lord draweth near. And so there's a sense of urgency there. And I think in this last year, more than ever, that sense of urgency is here. I mean, there have been times where I'm thinking the Lord's going to come back anytime. And so I would encourage us to remember what the events of this past year, moving forward, the sense of urgency is now. And we always have to be doing these things before the coming day of the Lord, because it could be at any second in the twinkling of an eye. So my dad used to say when I was a kid to me all the time, you know, as Christians, we got to be doing the stuff, right? So he'd always say that. I always hear his voice, Jay, just keep doing the stuff. And what he meant by that was, you know, the same thing that we're already doing as men here. To meet together often, even if it's 6 o'clock in the morning on Monday, which is an open invite, by the way. If you want to, you know, you can see Sean afterwards. praying for one another daily, exhorting one another in love, showing hospitality to others, being intentional with our time, studying the Word of God with each other, and other God-fearing books from J.C. Ryle, Paul Tripp, and now Jonathan Edwards. We're going through a book, Charity and Its Fruit. But always wanting to minister to one another with acts of kindness and love. I can think of a time a few months ago, Sean and Kelly invited us over for dinner with another young couple who were seeking marriage. And I thought, that's kind of weird. If we don't really know that young couple, why would they invite us over, you know, with them? And as soon as I showed up, like, you know, Sean and Kelly, you know them, get to know them, because they're so hospitable and so full of grace and love, they just exude. And I realized right when we got in there, as we were fellowshipping and getting to know this other couple, we had such a fun time, we had food, we had fellowship. But pretty much immediately off the bat, I could tell that Sean and Kelly's intention was to minister to this young couple and to really kind of press in on some hard questions, like we said earlier. You know, those hard questions, they really encourage really good, solid conversation and discussion. And I just was so overjoyed and the fact that they would invite us in to minister to them, to really start to question them on their commitment to the Lord and to one another, just to prepare them for this, you know, marriage covenant. And, you know, in fact, it actually spurred Nikki and I on. After that, we had a we really felt the Lord's grace on to get to know these young couples even more and then start the Young Marrieds Fellowship. So thank you for spurring us on with that, John. Romans 12:10, and I'll finish with this. Love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor or love. Constantly outdoing one another in love. That's what these guys do, and that's what I would encourage us to continue to do. Blessing us each time we meet, you know, these meals that these guys make. I mean, they guys know guys. We like to eat, right? So it's like the first time we met, Kyle's place, you know, it was like barbecue tri-tip, like scalloped potatoes, and they did this big old thing of guacamole, and it was all homemade. It's like, that's a lot of avocados that are expensive, you know? It's this whole thing is homemade avocado, you know, guacamole, and that's Kyle's heart. I've known him for years, and it's like, he just wants to serve these guys. And so I thought, you know, you set the bar high, brother, that's going to be hard to beat, you know? But the next time we met, we had Joe Zorn, there was homemade stew and gluten-free cornbread. And I thought, that's hard. And that's really hard to beat. And then the bars kept getting higher than Eli at Kalamazoo. They had, like, barbecue teriyaki chicken and then, like, a ton of dessert. And then you got this view where you could see all the way down to, like, Sacramento and the sun setting on this patio. I was like, man, this is just, man, I can't wait till they get to my house. We're going to have, like, mac and cheese and hot dogs. We're not going to bring down the bar again. But anyway, after that, we went to a guy named Scott's, and he had venison chili. I'm like, okay, you know, this is really showing honor and love to these guys. Because we, you know, it's funny, but, and thanks to the wives, too, for helping that. But it's blessing one another, and it's serving one another. And it's out-serving one another, and out-blessing one another. And every time I show up to these events, I always leave out-blessed. So thank you guys for out-blessing me, because that actually spurs me on. So in conclusion, I've been reading through my daily Bible lately, each day in fact, thanks to Dawn over there that gave me this, going through the Bible in 1 year during COVID, and thankfully to the Lord that I have more time to do that and to dedicate to that. But I've been going through 1 Samuel lately, and it was talking about the other day the relationship between David and Jonathan. And I know the story, but man, this just came right off the page to me. It was like, this is such an illustration of the fellowship that we have as men, is that connection that they had. It said that, you know, they were loving one another as themselves. They were loving one another as their own souls, even. They became one in spirit, and they were closer than brothers. They went everywhere together, and they were in a covenant with one another. And 1 Samuel 23:16 actually says, as Saul seeked the life of David, Jonathan encouraged him in God. And another translation I even like more says, actually, the translation I'm reading in the Daily Bible says that Jonathan helped him find strength in God. And so I just thought, you know, just to leave it on that note, what a great picture of our fellowship together as men as we spur one another on. You know, whether it's Saul hurling these massive spears at David or the enemy of our own souls, Satan himself, you know, wielding fiery darts at us. You guys are my Jonathan. You guys help me find strength in God. You really do. And you know who I'm talking about, too. You help me to resist the evil schemes of the devil, especially in this last year. And you spur me on to good works at home, at work, and in ministry. And you pray for me and my family, which I am eternally grateful. And you help to build me up when I'm down. So I just want to thank you, all you guys, all you men, all you leadership, elders, pastors. Thank you guys for all that you've done to me to help me grow together in my faith and the image and likeness of Christ and in our commitment to one another. Thank you.
Justin, for those of you who do not know me, my wife and I, Denise, we moved out here about 7 years ago. Denise is from this area. She was born in, she grew up in Rescue. I'm originally from San Francisco, but it's been a huge blessing for us to be connected with this church body at Gold Country Baptist. Just reflecting on how God uses people in our lives to draw us to Him. I think it's kind of rare for an individual to maybe stumble upon God through His Word, but not have any interactions with others. I think for all of us, we can attest that it's been someone important for us that either shared the gospel to us or helped disciple us. So I have this really blessed opportunity to be able to share my testimony, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to everyone. There's been numerous ways of how God has brought about change in my life. And just like for many people, our fathers are really important for us. It was my dad at a young age that just brought about the realities that there is a God in this world and that we are sinners. And I remember him telling me that because of our sin, we are under God's wrath. And only by Christ, the one that took our place, he died on the cross. He lived that perfect life for us, and he endured sin, God's wrath that we deserve. And by placing our trust in him, that God forgives our sins and he saves us. And as a young child, that was very influential to me because none of us, we want to endure suffering. But as I've gotten older, it's, we appreciate even more how special it is that knowing that God loves us, that we are safe and secure in him, and that we have fellowship forever with him. So that was very influential for me. My dad was obviously not perfect. He went through many hardships in life, went through many marriages. But it crumbled all false pretenses that that we are saved by works, at least our own works. None of us are perfect, but it really is by the grace of God that that saves us. Some other notable influences in my life were being invited to a high school fellowship group when I was younger. And that's how I got connected to the church in San Francisco. And it was really through the love of that church and discipleship where I got to learn and grow. Going into the verse Hebrews 10:24, how it is important for us to not neglect meeting together. As I got older and more college age, a lot of my peers have moved on to school, and I felt like I was a little disconnected at church. And there was a period where my grandfather passed away, and I guess by tradition or custom in the family, we all had to gather every Sunday to commemorate his death for a month. And my family, they were not believers, apart from my dad. And because of that that time off away from church, and my heart wasn't in the right place, it was very easy for me to neglect the fellowship. And because of that, my own sinful desires, where I'd rather sleep in and I'd rather do other things, it was very easy for me to not return. And I felt very embarrassed by it. I felt like, in the sense, I ran away from fellowship and from my church there. They reached out to me, of course, because they loved me, but I was not receptive at that time. So given quite a few years when I was just wandering, where I was just going in life aimlessly, where I would find my my fun through friends and entertainment, there was still that kernel where in my heart where I knew it was important that I would return to the Lord, walking with him, walking with other believers. And praise the Lord, he gave the courage to me to return back. And when I did, I just experienced the love of Christ through the church body back at my home church in San Francisco. And I was discipled there, and discipled by a dear older brother in the Lord, and really got to learn a lot. So kind of fast forward a little bit, during the Great Recession, when a lot of jobs being terminated, I worked in food service for Redwood City in San Mateo County. I worked in the courthouse there. And I also transferred over to the county jail, doing food service there. But at that position, I was working every Sunday, and it was taking me away from Sunday worship. I was still going to fellowship through the midweeks, but missing the Sunday fellowship, especially when I couldn't be there with my wife, it was really hard. So my wife and I, we talked about it, we prayed about it, and perhaps it was not something we wanted to do this forever, and it didn't seem like my job would give me the opportunity to have Sundays off. So we considered maybe I just go back to school, get more education, and then find a job where I would have those weekends off, and which was more conducive to our family and spiritual life. And praise the Lord, He opened that way for us. I was able to go to school, Sacramento State. We moved out this way, and God made that possible. So that's how we got connected to Gold Country Baptist. So I'm really thankful that the Lord led us here when we first heard of Gold Country Baptist. Honestly, I thought it was kind of like, is this a prosperity church? Just call it Gold Country? But going to the website and seeing Pastor Phil, he wrote a letter on there, and knowing that he went to Master's College, which is where my pastor's back in San Francisco, that's where they went to. So theologically, there was a lot of alignment. And I remember coming here, and Pastor Phil was preaching about Father's Day, and talked about Joseph, and the example of him as a father, and the example of God as our father. I was really blessed by that. So, just by the Lord's providence, when Denise and I, when we first started dating, we found out that both of her parents lived out here, and my mom lived out here too. So actually, when we come and visit, we visit our folks together. So it was just great how the Lord, just in His providence, how He provides all of these things for us. With the whole COVID situation, it did affect things of how we can get together. In fact, you may be familiar with the Gallup poll about how church membership has greatly declined, and that's been in effect for quite a long time. Thankfully, though, according to the Gallup poll, the U.S. is still a religious nation. More than 7 out of 10 people affiliate with some sort of organized religion, but there's been a huge trend of church membership. It's been dipping below, and currently right now it's like 47%, which is, for the first time ever, under 50%. So you can say that church members are now the minority in America. Obviously, there's a number of different reasons. COVID was one of them. But really, it's the population change, and as generations get younger, the more they're influenced by the world, and obviously, church is not a huge priority. I know when Jason, he was mentioning how he would get, it would be really difficult because it's hard to get together with others. For some people like myself, who are more introverted, there's no problem at all. I can just stay at home. I don't feel any side effects from it. But it's not true, because the Lord knows that we need that encouragement. The more that we retreat, the more that we live selfishly. And I'm definitely not immune to that. So I'm really thankful for just how God uses men in our lives to encourage us, to help us get together, to remind us, really, of the importance of Christ living for Him. And the men's group that I'm in, along with Jason, with Sean, and Ty, it's been a huge blessing for me. And, none of these men are great. None of them are perfect. We don't have our lives together. But we are able to share in our struggles, and we know that the solution is through God, through His Word. We encourage one another through that. So Paul, he describes the church like a physical body. We are all members of a body, and being members of a body means we are all connected. We are separate from the rest of the body, and just like our physical body, it shrivels, it dies. We need that blood to provide the warmth and that life. And being part of a local body, how we're all members of a local body, that's the picture of being members of a spiritual body, that's that we do need to be together. Because that lone Christian is tempted to the path of separation, which can lead to discouragement, spiritual blind spots, lack of accountability, even for like myself, spiritual apathy. So it's a consequence of just not having the spiritual blessing that's provided through one another. And, the Bible also presents numerous verses about describing our spiritual life as a race. It's a race that requires a lot of endurance. And endurance can be very difficult for people who don't enjoy running. Even for people who do enjoy running, endurance is a difficult thing. Sports psychologists know that athletes perform better in groups, especially for runners. And when you have someone watching or running with you, you are more focused, less distracted by the pain, and it helps you to move towards your goal. So even a simple buddy push when you're at your lowest point mentally, you're mentally breaking, that simple buddy push can help you carry on, give you your second wind. And that's the same way, you know, God made us like that. That's why it's imperative for us to encourage one another all the more until Christ returns. So I will close with Titus 2, verse 11, 14, for by the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works.
Start off with my life, what happened in my life, how that created me to be the person I am, who I am today. So I was raised in the area of Kemmer Park, and I was raised in a Mormon family, and I found out real quick that being Mormon was basically, you do everything. You have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do whatever. It's really structured, it's living, it's a lot like a Pharisee. I think that'd be the best way of doing it. You're judged on what you do. I never liked that. I was really defiant during that time when I was a kid, and I left when I was 17. I told my parents, I'm done, I'm not doing this. I left the church, I left the Mormon church. With that idea, I said, well, I could be a good person. I could be a good person without the Mormon church, and I'll show them that I could be a good person without the Mormon church. Let me show you. 19, all my friends went on a Mormon mission, and I decided to go into the Air Force. And I'm going to live a good life, a good person, while in the Air Force. And I totally didn't live a good life. I was fully carnal life in the Air Force. Going, doing what I wanted to do, but thinking I was fine because I was nice to everyone. I'm nice, I'm polite, I'm doing what everyone else is doing. And that worked for me. And anytime anyone brought up anything about church, it was, you guys don't even know what you're talking about right now. Everyone's putting their eggs in one basket. You know, I grew up Mormon, and my parents said, the sky's blue. I go, okay, that's blue. You know, and then they go, this church is true. And I go, okay, the church is true. But then you find out it's not true. So I don't believe anything anymore. So Christians come to me and they might say something. And I go, you guys don't even know what you're talking about. Your parents taught you that. And that's what you believe because that's what you were taught. But it's not true. Nothing of this. It is about going through life and being as good a person as you can. Be nice to people. That's how I live my life. Got out of the Air Force and became an electrician. And I met a guy named Pete. Pete was not a Christian. He was a Christian, but he's one of those lunatic Christians. He's one of those guys that was always preaching the word, and he needed to listen to Christian music. And I called him Crazy Pete because Pete was a little crazy. Crazy for the Lord. I mean, he was a true believer, but we know him now. The dude was a believer. And I really never met someone like that. Hey, Pete, what are you going to do after work today? Oh, I'm going to go to a friend's house. We're going to have a Bible study. Pete, what are you doing? Or not Bible study, a prayer group. What do you guys pray for? Well, we pray for people who are sick or whatever. Okay, Pete, that whole week, I hadn't been able to cook. I'm an electrician. I'm going up and down ladders. And I had severe pain. I could barely do my job that week. Hey, you think you guys can pray for me? All right. And I told him. All right, we'll pray for you. All right, thanks. Next week comes around, and I'm halfway through the week. I'm doing my job. Wednesday, I was like, wow, I've made it through Monday to Tuesday, and all today, I haven't had any pain. This is really weird, and that pain was there for weeks before. It's gone. It's gone. Hey, Pete, did you happen to pray for me? Yeah, I prayed for you like I told you. Unbelievable. That's a coincidence. What a crazy coincidence this is. I just remember thinking that. But that religion is nothing. It's just a coincidence. I changed careers. I decide I'm going to be a police officer. Oh, there we go. Police officer now. I have this ride along. He's a pastor. And he's chipping at me. And I'm... Hey, if you want to challenge me, Pastor, I'm right here. And we have all day in this car together, and we'll hash it out. And that's pretty much what we did. I mean, he was talking to me, and I told him, I said, listen, Asian people over in China, they believe in Buddha or whatever, and people over here believe in this, people over here believe in that, and they're all believing this thing because that's how they were raised. They were raised to believe this. And guess what? Over here in America, everyone's Christian. And you're preaching this, but guess what? It's all made up. All this is made up. Everyone chooses something. And they put their eggs in one basket. And then they see what happens. I mean, then that's it. And that guy, I know, I felt bad for him. But, I mean, that's how that was. But that's what my mindset was. But these little coincidences kept on occurring over and over and over. And by the time I'm 40, I had to take a look at these coincidences. And I was just driving. And I said, how do I know? And I wasn't even emotional. I just had to, how do I know? And that was the first time I really felt God touch me. I was crying, I was laughing. It was unbelievable, and I've never felt that since. But I've never felt that. And I've never been the same since. And right after that, anyone said they're a Christian, I'm like, out there, oh, me too, I'm a Christian too. And they're looking at me weird. What is this guy? Like, yeah, I'm a Christian. But then I find out, hey, there's these Christians that are saying they're Christian. They're not Christian. They're out there, they're doing things they shouldn't do. How are you a Christian? You don't do that. It's not what Christ has called us to do. But I don't know anything about this Christian life. I don't know how to live it. I don't know anyone that's Christian. And someone at work was talking to him and said, hey, listen to sermon audio. Guy, go listen to sermon audio. Listen to this guy. Really made me mad. His name was Paul Washer. And every sermon, I was like, oh, I don't like what you're saying right now. And I remember thinking, are you not liking what he's saying because it's truth? I mean, if it's true, it's true. I mean, look at it. Look at your life. What are you being convicted? Everything that he said was true, and I saw areas of my life I needed to change. I needed to change this, I needed to change that. And I kept listening to sermon audio. Well, we ended up leaving our house and moving back to Kemmer Park. We had a house in Sacramento, but we ended up moving up here. I'm going from church to church. I'm trying to find, church in Sacramento, and everyone's having these concerts. There's these Christians that are out there going, prosperity churches. Give us, hey, you want to be blessed by the end of the year? Give us money. God blesses people who gives. or going somewhere else and they're just concerts nonstop. And you know, something's not right or something's not right. And I end up listening to Pastor Corey and Pastor Phil on sermon audio. And that's how I ended up here. I come here and you know, that was the first time where, you know, I've read the Bible later. You know, once I became Christian, you know, I read the Bible, you know, trying to understand it the best I can. But I come here and, you know, they're preaching the word and everyone's into the word and they're not telling their opinion. They're not saying, hey, do this or do that because I think this. And a lot of the other churches were giving opinion. They were not hitting hard truth. One of the pastors one time was giving a sermon on a really controversial issue, and I was amazed how well he could walk the line to not offend anyone. And I said, that's not right. I mean, because it's really clear in Scripture what it says about that issue. But I come here and it's all in the Word. It's the Word. It's what did God say? Who are we are? We're nothing without the Word. We're nothing without the baseline. We have to form our life after the truth, after what's written. But my guard is still up. I still have this little wall up because of experiences I've had with being Mormon. We're going to different churches, meet people who say they're Christian, but they're showing in their lives that they're not. I'm Christian, but let's look at all these girls walking by. Things like that. Things that we all know, hey, we don't do that. 2020 comes, and my life got flipped completely upside down. I'm in a new job within my career. And I'm no longer in a patrol car. I'm on a motorcycle, handing out tickets. That's my whole job. But 2020, they say, you can't do that, and I'm trying to figure out how to do this. My family life at home got flipped upside down. Kids are not in school anymore. Everything, and I went in this huge, deep depression. Oh, I forgot the best thing, guys. This is pretty funny. This is a huge, huge chunk. I come to this church, and I'm going every week, learning, trying to learn from Chris in the morning. Had a, you know, Chris Wire, he had a class, and I'm learning. It was a Sunday school, but I'm by myself. I go to Sunday school by myself. I go to service by myself. I go home. That's it. But I don't really talk to anyone. I just want to learn, but I don't know how to do this Christian thing. And I prayed. I prayed one night. It was either Saturday night or Sunday morning. And I just asked God for put one sheep in my life. Guide me through this. And the next day, or that morning, you know, I was doing this for months by myself. And all of a sudden, this after the class, hey, what's your name? Who are you? And it was people turn around and do a big old smile on his face, and he introduced himself as Eli. Oh, hey, Eli. Nice to meet you. Hey, you should go to this men's group at Sean's house. This is kind of funny. Sean had this cracked smile on his face, like, yeah, okay, yeah, come on over. Kind of wonder, like, who did Eli just invite over to my house on Tuesday? Yeah, okay, you know, and I'm thinking, well, that's a coincidence, because I've been going there. And I just prayed this, and then look, God, everything I prayed for, so I was like, wow, that's crazy. Okay, I am going to go. And that's what first plugged me into this fellowship. I didn't know about this. I heard the word. I didn't know what it meant. But we go there, and you know, I start to hear from these guys and hear what's going on in their lives, and they hear what's going on in mine. Then 2020 hit. Everything flipped upside down. And I'm used to handling everything by myself. And I found out I can't fix this. There is nothing I can do. Absolutely nothing. And I called up Pastor Corey crying. help me. I need help. And I'm calling up the guys from the men's room to help me. Everyone's praying. I don't know what to do. And that was the first time I really had to drop my hands and put trust into the Lord. Really rely on Scripture and these guys. Every Monday, well, at that time we're doing Monday and Friday on Zoom. Captain, pray for you. And we're going through and we're finding out how everyone is doing. We're praying. And slowly over time, the Lord worked. This issue was corrected. That issue was corrected. And, you know, for the most part, everything's correct now. Everything's done. Praise to the Lord. Well, what I found with those groups is we go into this world every day, and we live in a fallen world. And how can you not be consumed with this world if that's all you know? And I found that you are with your guys, with your brothers, your true brothers in Christ that are really pushing you. How are you doing? Where are you struggling? How can we pray for you? And then this is how you can pray for me, or this is how you can help me. And you're really part of something. When you really go into the world, you're on vacation, and you're just an observer. And you can come back and go to your friends and go, hey, check this out. This is how my day was here. This is how my day was there. And it's easier to go through life to, you know, I wrote down a scripture, the whole, don't be unequally yoked by unbelievers. And that's really what I learned, was it's so easy to be unequally yoked, to just let your guard down and, okay, I'm going to conform to this little thing here, this little thing there. But if you are with your brothers and encouraging them and them encouraging you, you're staying strong to the word. And you are a true traveler in this world. You actually go, and I'm just visiting this. I'm not part of this kind of life. I'm here just I'm just observing this, and my true life is with my brothers in Christ and learning the word. And that's what 2020 really taught me, is to just let my guard down, put my trust in the Lord, and stay true to the word. And I slip up, but I got brothers there to help me. And before, when I slip up, guess what? It's me. It's me that I go to myself and say, oh, you can fix this. Either you can or you can't. Really can't really fix much, but when you have a whole bunch of brothers around you, they're poking and, helping you out and keeping you strong. That's what I found. That's my lesson in 2020 was. It was that I can't get through this life without a foundation and without people keeping me in the Word and true to the Word. 2020, my grandma passed. I want to end with this. And Pastor Corey, Pastor Phil came to the funeral. And it turns out she was a member here, didn't even know. And she was praying when I was born to help me. And I just think it's amazing. And the Lord brought me back to her church. And, you think, well, coincidence. So, I don't think that's a coincidence. So that's my testimony and the stuff that's happening.
morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
This is Diane Drake. And the guy asked me to go first this morning. So, but we've been asked to share a little bit in this last year how the Lord's moved in our lives and how, by coming alongside one another, how the Lord has used that and what it meant to each of us. Today is going to share, we're in a discipleship program together, and he's going to share what it means to him, and I'm going to share what it means to me. I would like to start with a couple of scriptures. One of them has been read already, but Matthew 21:22 says, "Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." The other one is 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Encourage one another and build up one another." And I want to just say that God answers prayer. It was really interesting because I prayed for something very specific. I wanted the Lord to use me in a specific way in our church. It was something that would be meaningful. And 2 days later at church on a Sunday morning, Jediah walked up to me and he said, "Mr. Ross," he said, "would you disciple me?" And I was just, immediately, Lord revealed to me that that was the answer to prayer. Of course, to die, very polite and courteous type of young man that he is, he said, "And Mr. Ross, if you're not able to do this at this time," he said, "I understand. I mean, you could be busy." I said, I smiled, and he was looking at me like, why was I smiling? And I had the opportunity to tell him this is the actual answer to prayer. God had opened the door for both of us to come together, get to know each other and talk about God's word. So it's been, it was just 2 days that God answered that prayer. Now we've all had prayers answered, long times and short times, but when it happens, you never quite get used to it when it's answered so specifically. It's just a true blessing. It's also encouraging for me to see the commitment that Kodai has. I'm talking about my side of this discipleship together. It's very exciting to see a young man his age, he's shooting up church, 11 years old, but I think I'm more 13, 14, because of the way he responds, the way he talks. But he's got a love for God that's beyond, I think, most kids that I've talked, young men at this age. He's really, he loves the Lord. He's very, very concerned about sin in his life. He's very concerned that that's an issue he wants to get a hold of. He works on it, prays about it. He wants me to pray about it. Weekly, he has me pray for things that's going on in his life. And so it's just, it's a huge encouragement to me. I'm trying to encourage him, but it's a huge encouragement to me, the things that he wants to talk about, the things that he discusses. And the things that are important to him, people or young friends, kids that he knows, their salvation. It's very concerning to him. So at times I'm very also amazed at his understanding of spiritual things. He really gets it. The Lord, I think the Lord's going to use him in a mighty way. I think the Lord's preparing him to do have a ministry of some sort that would be very important. But it's, you know, after justification or sanctification, when we talk about this, Shaddai and I talk about the sanctification process, the guy understands the sanctification process. At a very early age, he went through things as a young child that most of us never have experienced and probably never would. We may not even know people who's gone through some of the things that this young man has had to go through in his life. But he understands the things that he's gone through are part of God's sanctification process for him. He understands that these things are to teach him and to prepare him for eternity. He understands it. He understands that these things, things that a lot of us would think are bad things, but he sees things that are either necessarily, they're not bad things, they're not good things, They're just things that God brings in his path for him to grow. It's an opportunity for him to give God the glory in how he responds to the difficulties in his life. And so, again, for someone like myself, together we meet weekly, and it's so encouraging for me to see this. Someone like Jediah wants to learn, it's a huge blessing because I get to see the joy. I get to see the expressions. I get to see the understanding. There's times when we're talking about Scripture, we might be talking about maybe just a principle from Scripture. And it's maybe something maybe new we haven't thought about before. And I'll look in his face, he's sitting across the table from me, he's coming to my house. And he's sitting right across the table from me. And it's as if Jesus bent down and said something in his ear. That's the expression I see on his face. When he just kind of lights up with a new, complete understanding of something. And it just, to me, it's just a huge, huge joy. So, just about down here. We have studied through the Gospel of Homer together. Things that I know. We are studying through a catechism, Bible doctrine by W.R. Dunn, and that's the large catechism. In this particular one, I think there's 300 and some odd questions. So we'll probably do that. Probably take us a year or so on that. But anyway, it's been a huge blessing. So thank you. That's what this discipleship. Come alongside one another has meant to me.
You're good.
Because I used to just read it, and then it wouldn't make really too much sense. But he taught me that I should analyze it and dissect the words and actually see what this verse is talking about. And he's also shared a lot of verses with me about being careful, for that's one of the things I struggle with, is being afraid of just like slipping away, or just my mind, because my mind, one of my biggest problems is that I wander. And just me trying to deal with it myself doesn't really help. But with someone else to actually tell me what to do get out there. And he's also taught me in that process that you shouldn't wait. You shouldn't just let your mind wander to get out of it as soon as you can. That's what it's meant to me.
Amen.